Beruchim Abayim Rabotai. Welcome to another edition of our Thursday night class. It could be a special edition only because it is Hanukkah, and it is our custom that whenever we have the Thursday night class coinciding with the Hag, so we direct our comments towards the Hag. I saw a very fascinating piece this week from Rabbi Friedman, Yishmereu Ha'el, and I'd like to elaborate on what he says. I'd like to also give the rabbi a blessing that David HaMelech said, Gal einai ve'abita nifleot metoratecha, that the God should open our eyes to see the secrets. The rabbi Baruch Hashem reveals a lot of secrets over the year, and we're able to share them with our members. And we bless the rabbi that he should continue having the siyata d'shmaya to put together these incredible divrei Torah week after week, and then to print it and to publish it in such a clear fashion that clearly he has siyata d'shmaya. Hanukkah is the holiday of lights, or is Torah. So we pray that the zechut of the orot, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu should continue to bless the Rav with Mohim de Gadlut and great revelations, and continue good health for him and his family. Amen. So there is an old question regarding the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. You know, the Gemara in Shabbat says that there's three levels in how to fulfill the mitzvah. Mitzvat Ner Hanukkah, Ner Hanukkah Ishu Beto. Ishu Beto is the most basic level. The Hachamim explained that means all you have to do is basically light one Ner per night per family. So if you have 10 people in the family, the first night you light one candle, the eighth night you light one candle, every night in between you light one candle, and that's it. So all you need is 8 candles. Ner Ishu Beto is a very simple way of fulfilling the mitzvah. Then the Gemara says, well, you have another level called Mehadrin. Those that are a little more careful in the mitzvot. So there it says, Ned lechol echad ve'echad. So the interpretation of that is, you have 10 people in the family, you light 10 candles every night. 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. And you have altogether 80 candles, let's say, by the end of the Hag. It's a higher level. The first level, you're only lighting one candle a night. Second, you're lighting one per. So that's a higher level. It's called Mehadrin. You know, people that want to do the mitzvah in a more meticulous way. Then you have the third level. It's called Mehadrin Min HaMehadrin. That's the most, Mehudar way, the most fine way of doing the mitzvah. And we follow Beit Hillel's way of doing it, where we light one candle per night going up. Mosif Veholech. So on the first night we light one candle, the next night we light two candles, then we light three candles and four. And by the last night we have 8 candles. And that's called Mehadrin Min HaMehadrin. That became the tradition today, that most people follow the Mehadrin Min HaMehadrin. Of course there's a difference between Sephardim and Ashkenazim. Sephardim light one menorah per house. Ashkenazim light one menorah per person in the house. That's based on the Machloket Rishonim between Harambam and the Tosafot, how they learned the Gemara. But the question over here is, you know, when do you ever see a mitzvah that has three different, grades? Normally the Gemara says, this is the way you do the mitzvah. You do it like this, it counts. And if you do it like this, you're out. It's pasul, lo yatsa. Here, the Gemara says, well, you have options. You want, coach? You want business class, or you want first class? You want to do Neri Shubeto, that's coach. You want to do a little better Mehadrin, business class. You want to do Mehadrin and Mehadrin, that's already first class. When do they give you three different options when it comes to doing mitzvah? In previous years, we explained that why is there a concept of Mehadrin and Mehadrin at all? You know, just do the mitzvah. Why do I have to be so strict on Hanukkah? I want to be Yotzeh. One candle a night, Does it count? Yes. Do I pass? Yes. So light one candle a night. Why does everybody choose to be mehadrin min mehadrin on Hanukkah? Even a guy who's not mehadrin all year long and other stuff. You know, when all the other mitzvot that he does, he tries to get by. You know, he looks for the minimum. Comes Hanukkah, even the bare minimum guy, he lights, you know, mehadrin min mehadrin. So in previous years we explained it. Because in truth, in the times of the Hashmonaim, when they came to rededicate the Beit HaMikdash, they found a small Pak Shemen. It had the seal of the Kohen Gadol on it. And they used that pure oil to light the menorah. Although there was only enough for one night, God made a miracle and that pure oil lasted for 8 days. Of course, the famous question they all ask is, you didn't need that miracle, because the halakha says since everybody was tameh and all the oils were impure, the halakha allows us to use impure oil. So technically, we would have been able to use non-pure oil to light the menorah. This miracle allowed us to be strict, to do more than the law demands us. And therefore, since we are commemorating the miracle, and since the miracle happened through a mehadrin, they did something beyond the call, so therefore to commemorate the beyond the call miracle, that they could have settled for tameh oil, they didn't, so therefore we follow a law of mehadrin. That's why we explained it in previous years, but it still doesn't explain the three grades. Furthermore, the Gemara tells us where we're supposed to place the menorah. I understand many people place it by their front windows, which is fine. But if you come to my house, for example, we put the menorah by the door. I actually light outside, like they used to do in the days of the Talmud. And we put it outside in the front porch, and we put it by the front door, across from the mezuzah. And the Gemara says, mezuzah biyamin, and menorah bismol. Which needs to be understood. Why is the placement of the menorah against the mezuzah? It seems they're two separate mitzvot. There's no connection between the mezuzah and the menorah. My point is, usually we do mitzvot on the right side. So I would have said, you know, you're walking into the door, put the menorah on the right side also. So you have a menorah and a mezuzah on the same side. You know, what's the big deal? He said, no, we want it to be we want it to be against. Why do they want it to be parallel to each other? The Gemara in Berachot, in a few places, Daf Zayin is one, gives us a klal, and the Gemara says in a language, Minalan deshema garim. The name of a person or the name of an item has an influence on the item. We don't discount names. There's a lot in a name. The name of a person or the name of a concept, it's gorem. It influences the person. It speaks a lot about the person, especially in Lashon HaKodesh. The names that we call things actually define its essence. Gemara gives an example to this. Gemara says that once the rabbis, they went to a hotel for Shabbat, and they checked in, and they had money. And they asked the concierge that they have a vault where they could put their money. And he said, yeah, sure. So all the rabbis give the money to the concierge. The Bimeir was there with them, and he says, by the way, he looks on his, on his tag, you know, hi, my name is, and his name is Kidor. So Kidor, Rabbi Meir says, I wouldn't give the guy the money. With a name like Kidor, I don't trust the guy. So what do you mean? What is Kidor? It's not the most common name, but why do you suspect him? He says, because the Pasuk says in the Torah, Kidor tahpuchot hema banim lo emun bam. It is a generation that is upside down. It is children that you cannot trust. Kidor. His name says it all. His name is a name that symbolizes distrust and dishonesty. And they didn't trust Rabbi Meir. They trusted Kidor, they didn't trust Rabbi Meir. And they gave him the money. Mimi says, I'm not giving the money. Anyway, Motzei Shabbat, they come back from Havdalah, they go to the concierge, Shabuatov, Shabuatov Mevorach, and all that. We came to get our money. And of course, Kidor says, what money? Lo ayu devarim me'olam, lahadam. And Rabbi Meir says, yeah, I told you, Kidor. You see that? He'll never give you the money. He's going to deny it till the moon. So therefore, the Gemara says, you see, a name is Gorem. So you have to pay attention to the names. The Galut that we are commemorating now is called Galut Yavan. In English we call it the Greeks. I don't have too many Hadushim on the word Greeks, but the word Yavan. The Midrash comes along and says, why were we placed in Galut Yavan? So there's a Midrash that says, well, the tribe that was able to defeat Galut Yavan was the tribe of Levi. The Hashmonaim come from Levi. So the Midrash is very clear in giving connections between Yavan and Levi. What are the connections they say? Yavan was the third exile. Bavel, Paras u'Madai is one, and Yavan. And Levi is the third child. Reuven, Shimon, Levi. So let the third exile fall in the hands of the third child. Then the Midrash says something strange. Levi, yeshlo gimal otiyot. Yavan, yeshlo gimal otiyot. Levi has three letters in its name, Lamed Vav Yud. And Yavan has three letters in its name, Yud Vav Nun, Sofit. And therefore three against three. I saw that Midrash. And I said, what do you mean, three otiyot? If that's the case, so then you could have had the tribe of Asher go against Yavan. If all this is a numbers game, so find the tribe that has three letters, Asher, finished. Why would the Midrash make such a point in the three letters of Yavan against the three letters of Levi? That tells me that there's something in the letters. It's not Stam. Therefore, we have to look at the letters. We have to look at a Yud, a Vav, a Nun Sofit, a Lamed, a Vav, and a Yud. The letters themselves. I don't think it's saying 3-3. 3-3, that's not an inyan to make a connection. It's saying three letters. Look at the three letters of Yavan, look at the three letters of Levi, and you'll see a tremendous secret in the letters. What is the secret? Okay, that's enough questions for now, at least. So the Derash begins with the Gemara in Shabbat, page 105. Kufhe. The Gemara over here says, in the name of Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri, המקריא בגדיו בחמתו והמשבר כליו בחמתו והמפזר מעותיו בחמתו יהא בעיניך כעובד עבודה זרה. Ravia says about somebody that has anger problems, and he gets so angry at time to time that he breaks things in his anger. You know, you see him pick up the vase and says, you, and he throws it on the floor. Or he takes a shirt, he rips it in half. Or he takes the money and he just, you know, throws it in the clerk's face because he's upset. So the Gemara says, when you see that, it should be tantamount to you in your mind that person worshipped Avodah Zarah. That's idolatry. The Gemara is questioning, what do you mean idolatry? It's far from idolatry. This is anger. Idolatry is, bowing down to the Buddha, denying God. We're not saying that anger and this tirade is a good midah, but how could the Gemara compare this to Avodah Zarah? So Rabbi Yohanan says, let me explain to you. Shekach umanuto shel yetzer hara. He says, because that's the way the Yetzer Hara operates. And here he reveals one of the greatest secrets of the strategy that the Yetzer Hara used, the art of war. The art of war, it teaches you strategy. So here he teaches you one of the great ruses of the Yetzer Hara. Hayom omer lo asekach, ulmahar omer lo asekach, ad sheomer lo avod avodah zarah, veholech veoved. He says the Yetzer Hara works in a very gradual system. He works step by step. He doesn't tell the guy on day one, go worship Avodah Zarah. Hayom omer lo asekach. Today he tells him, do this, which is a small, you know, misdemeanor. It's a technical foul. Umahar omer lo asekach. A little bigger. Add until he gets him to do the federal crime of Avodah Zarah. That's a big, big trick of the Yetzer. He ropes you in slowly. Yetzer knows if he's going to come to you on the first day and say, Avod Avodah Zarah, you tell him, go somewhere else, I'm not interested. I'm religious. So how does he get you in? He gives you a very small item, a very, very fine avera. We'll call that in Hebrew avera kala. A misdemeanor, you know, jaywalking. You don't start with the federal crime, jaywalking. You know, it's a small little crime. You don't even get a ticket for it sometimes. But his goal is not to end up a jaywalking. He wants to put you in jail for a federal crime. But it's slowly. Hayom omer lo asekach umahar. So it's a system of Hayom and Mahar. Ad. Until you get to the end, and it might take years. The Yetzer Hara is very patient and he's very deliberate. By the way, that's how he gets the addict. How does he get the addict hooked? He doesn't tell him on the first day, smoke 10 packs of cigarettes. He tells him, I also agree, it's not good for you. Of course, not good for you. But you're at the parties, l'chaim, everybody's having a cigarette, l'chbod d'chatan v'kala. You know, one cigarette never hurt everybody. And you know, Maimonides did say everything in moderation. You have to remember what Maimonides said. He knows all the Rambams. At least the Rambams that can support his, crooked theories. One cigarette never hurt him. You don't want to embarrass the chatan, do you? Oh, you're right. He takes one. And then the next day comes along and says, asekach. One, you can take two. Shnayim derech eretz. And then he says on the third day, two is zugot. You don't want to do two things in two. They say never do things in pairs. So you do shlosha. Shlosha avot, arba imaot, hamisha amshe torah, shisha sedre mishnah. Before you know it, the guy's doing 10 packs a day, keneged aser debirot. And then you say, well, how did it happen? The guy's saying, after 6 months, how did I get to this? And he starts to trace back. Where did this addiction start? Well, now when he's in rehab, and he's with 10 of his cohorts, and they each confessing how they started, he said, "How did I start this?" And he said, "Yeah, you know, it started with one measly, lousy cigarette, and from that the Yetzer Hara roped me in. I say, Ayom amel asekach, mahalo amel asekach, ad until he finds himself." Which obviously the key is. In America, they say you have to nip it in the bud. You can't let him in. You can't let him in. Once you let him in, he owns you. You got to block him at the door. You know what the Darshanim say on this Gemara, Hayom omer lo asekach, umahar omer lo asekach. I saw one of the Darshanim in a sefer called Ahole Shem. Quotes a pasuk in Shemot, Perek Yutet, pasuk Yod. This is when the Jewish people were about to receive the Torah at Sinai. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, so God tells Moshe, Lech el Ha'am, go to the people, v'kiddashtam hayom u'mahar, and go sanctify them today and tomorrow. And then on the third day, I'm going to come down and give the Torah. But according to the Ahol Hashem, he says something beautiful. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, I'm giving him a Torah. With the Torah comes a Yetzer Hara. He's attached to the book. He's going to come and try to deter you. And he's going to try to do it in a gradual way. Hayom omer lo asekach, umahar omer lo asekach. So God tells Moshe, lech el ha'am v'kiddashtam, tell them they have to sanctify themselves. How? Hayom umahar. In that system of the Yetzer Hara, the hayom umahar system. In the hayom omer lo asekach, umahar omer lo asekach, v'kiddashtam hayom umahar. They have to know that that's where the Kiddushah lies. That they can't fall into that trap of taking the Yetzirah for his word on day one, because day one is followed by day two, and day two is followed by day three. Ad shomelo avoda avoda zara, dekindashtem hayom umahar. Well, if that's the case, we understand the Gemara now in Sukkah, page 52. Gemara Sukkah, page 52, says the following. It gives us again another style of the Yetzer Hara. Gemara. Amar Rava, 52b. Amar Rava. Betchila kira'o holech. ולבסוף קראו אורח, ולבסוף קראו איש. The Gemara says the Yetzer Hara has three names. First, his approach is he's a holech. Holech means he's walking, he's itinerant. You know, he's just a wayfarer. His connection to you is not a permanent connection. He's just a holech. He catches you just on the way, casually. Holech. Any that she on the holech? Holech, that she says, over derech alav. He just passes by him. Ve'enu mitachsen imo. He doesn't live with him. Holech. Temporary. And then all of a sudden, he comes from being a holech and he becomes oreyach. Now he becomes a guest. Rashi says, oreyach achsenai. Now he becomes more frequent. He becomes a frequent guest. Until he becomes ish. And Rashi says, what is ish? Balabayit. He owns you. He moves in. That's the way it is. Again, if you use the addict as the example. In the beginning, who's in control? The person is in control. The Yetzirah only gets them casually to commit the addiction. Again, addiction is sin, but we can understand sin through the eyes of addiction because it's the perfect mashal. You know, initially, he just passes by, it's casual, a drink here, a drink there, or a roll of the dice here, or a bet here, or whatever, a smoke here. It's a olech. And then all of a sudden, the habit becomes more common. It becomes more prevalent. Now already becomes an oreyah. And before you know it, the Yetzirah moves in and becomes an ish, becomes balabayit, now he owns you. Now you have no choice anymore. Now he's telling you what to do and you cannot even control yourself. You fall into the trap of the balabayit. He becomes ish. Those are the three degrees that the Gemara says that the Yetzirah catches. So again, the rule is, you gotta catch him before he walks into the house. Once he walks into the house, he walks by your house, you gotta lock the doors. Once you let him in the house as a guest, all of a sudden, he owns you. He becomes a balabayit. You know, the Yetzirah tells you, you know, get the TV into the house because you want to watch Torah videos. Only for videos. And we got all the Torah videos. You can watch Torah. Maybe you got, you know, Motzei Shabbat. There's music and all the good things you could watch with the kids and all that. He's a guest. He got you in the house. Now before you know it, when nobody's watching, from the Torah videos comes all the other stuff. Before you know it, there's a TV in the house and the Torah videos have nothing to do with it anymore. Now already, it's all the different channels. Before you know it, you're bringing in cable. Before you know it, all the avirot. And you say, how do we get to this level? You let them in. You let him into the house before you know. His goal was to get you to the end. But he did it subtly. He's a over, he's a holech, oreya, and then he becomes a ish. I saw from the rabbi from Kamarna, he says if you take the word holech, which is the first grade of the yetzer, holech equals 55. He lamid chaf. Oreya, spelling it aleph resh ket without the vav, is 209. Ish is 311. 311, 209, 55 equals 575. I know that number doesn't mean anything to you, but if you take the word Yetzer Hara, it also equals exactly 575. Which means the Yetzer Hara, it's giving you the essence. He's a Holech, and then he upgrades himself to an Oreyah, and then before you know it, he becomes an Ish. Based on this, we go back to explain the Greeks. The Greeks and their generation were the epitome of the Yetzer Hara. I mean, we say in the prayers and the Siddur that the purpose of the Greeks was one purpose. L'shakeham toratach. They came in order to cause us to become forgetful from the Torah. Now again, you think that happens in one day? No, it's over a long period of time. It says the Greeks had dominance over us for 180 years. So it's a 180-year process. Hayom omer lo asekach, mahar omer lo asekach. Slowly, slowly, to gradually strip away the Torah from Klal Yisrael until you get to Shekhat Torah. It's not on day one. Shekhat Torah is a gradual process, and that's the process that the Greeks used. I wasn't there. I don't know the methods they used, but I can imagine. How does it start? They go to the yeshivas. They tell the yeshivas, listen, you know, we don't want to affect the yeshiva. We just want you to start teaching in the afternoon some Greek poetry. And you say to yourself, Greek poetry, a couple of haikus, a couple of, poems and stuff like that. Never heard anybody. And they'll give you funding also for it. You say, okay, we'll get some funding. We won't even spend it on the haikus. We'll spend it on the Gemara classes. We'll take the money from the Greeks and spend it on the other stuff. And all of a sudden, they got their foot in the door. Now you're teaching Greek poetry in the yeshiva. Before you know it, two classes, three classes, four classes, all of a sudden now, you're learning Greek philosophy. All of a sudden, Aristotle comes to the yeshiva as a guest speaker. You got Plato and all the other tzaddikim, Socrates and all those guys, Apollodorus, whatever they call them. And now, all of a sudden, the curriculum has changed. And over the course of many, many years, the problem was you had to nip it in the bud. You had to stop it when they wanted to introduce the beginning of this Hasbe Shalom Avodah Zarah, but they let it in. And now they have deal. All you need is one bad cell. If you don't get that one bad cell in the beginning, the cell starts to multiply, and before you know it, it ravages. The problem is you had a chance to get in the beginning. The Gemara says it's like a dam that starts to have a hairline crack, and the water is dripping and trickling. At that point over there, it's easy to plug it. But if you don't plug it at that point, the dam starts to, the crack starts to get widened. And before you know it, it becomes a deluge. At that point, you can't plug it anymore. The problem with the Greeks was they came at us with a small, minute item. And from there, we didn't go to war on the minute item. It came in, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew. Says Rabbi Friedman in Unbelievable Hiddush. He says, you want to know about names? Those three letters of Galut Yavan are significant to tell us their strategy. Because look at the three letters Yavan. Yud is the smallest letter. It's a stick letter. It's a straight line. You know how Yavan starts? A small item with the yud. And you say to yourself, it's only a small stick, small little yud over there. Big deal. A couple of Greek. So you throw a few javelins. You know, what's the worst thing? You know, sports. Something that's wrong with it. You throw a couple of discus. Never hurt anybody. A couple of long jumps. And all of a sudden, the yud becomes a vav. Yeah, the yud grew. Now already, the Yetzer Hara went from being a Holech, now already he's an Oreyach. And before you know it, the Vav becomes a Nun Sofit. Now already it brings you all the way down to the lowest levels. Hayom omer lo hasekach, umahar omer lo hasekach, ad shomer lo avod avodah zarah. Those three stick letters of Yavan represent the mahut of Yavan. Shema Garim. The name is Gorem. Yud Vav Nun. That's a method. Well, if that's the case, the Baal Shem always said, Me'oyevai tehakemeni mitzvotecha. Baal Shem learned that pasuk, that you have to learn observance of mitzvot from our enemies. Which means, the method of our enemies, we have to apply those methods to serve God. Which means, if the Yetzer Hara gets us gradually, and that's how he succeeds, so must be in mitzvot. When it comes to shemirat ha-mitzvot, to succeed, it also must be done in a gradual method. It cannot be done in a jump. Or as they say, you can't skip steps. The Baal Musar always draw a lesson from the ladder of Yaakov Avinu. And it says, Malachi Elohim olim v'yoredim bo. Well, they guess the simple question. If it's angels that are olim v'yoredim bo, what do you need a ladder for? The angels could just fly up and down. You don't need a ladder. You know, we would think that they could use a fireman's pole. You know, just slide up and slide down. But the Torah is teaching you that in order to make the proper aliyot, you have to go bahadraga. You have to go in steps. The religion is, it's almost, it's like a medicine that needs to be taken in the proper dosages. And if you take the wrong dosages and you overdose with a good intention, so then, Chabaruch used to tell us a story of the doctor that gave a patient once, you know, antibiotics for 10 days. And the patient came back after one day and he's much sicker than he was. And the doctor, he says, doctor, the medicine doesn't work. He says, it can't be this. This is the strongest antibiotic. He says, show me the bottle. He shows the bottle. The bottle's empty. He said, how can it be the bottle's empty? It's 10-day medicine. He said, I said to myself, what a silly doctor. Why should I wait 10 days? I took the whole thing in one day. I said, take the whole thing in one day. The medicine doesn't work like that. It has a reverse effect. If you take more medicine than you're supposed to, it's supposed to be taken by hadraga. You went and you took more than you're supposed to. And you got sick. Don't be such a hakam. Just like the Mishnah says, Avera goreret Avera, the Mishnah says, Mitzvah goreret Mitzvah. That's the system. One Mitzvah leads to another, and you start to move, and you grow. There was a great rabbi called the Noam Elimelech. Noam Elimelech, I have a copy of the Sefer in Parashat Mishpatim. It's a small one-liner. He's connecting two Pesukim that are next to each other in the Torah. The pasuk says at the end of Parashat Terumah, "Lo ta'ale b'mahalot al mizbechi." You're not allowed to run up to mizbeach. Lo ta'ale b'mahalot al mizbechi. You can't put steps on the mizbeach and run up the steps. Asher lo tigale arvatecha. Because if you're going to run up the steps, your nakedness is going to be shown. Because you have to spread your legs, and the steps are going to see the nakedness. Ve'ele hamishpatim asher tasim lifnehem. And these are the laws. Noam Elimelech says, running up the Mizbeach, these are the laws, what's the connection? So he says, Begam lo telech miyad b'athalatcha b'ma'alot u'madregot sadikim gemurim rak metchila targil et atzmecha b'hadraga b'madrega l'madrega. When a person wants to get close to Hashem, you don't start with the level of the highest of the sadikim. You start on the smallest level, and then you accomplish it, and then you move to the next. There's a great Yetzer Hara that wants to get the guy to jump. Because he knows when you jump and skip steps, you fall. You fall on your face. And therefore the normally Melech says, Lo ta'ale b'ma'alot ha-mizbechi. Because what's going to happen when you run up to the Mizbeach? Tegale irvatecha, you can only show your shame. Ve'ele ha-mishpatim, that's the way the Torah must be followed. Be'adraga, without aliyot, without sudden jumps. And that's the truth. Sometimes a person gets inspired, and right away he starts acting in an extreme manner. How long could you be extreme for? It lasts a day, 2 days, a week. And all of a sudden, since he's acting in a way that it's too hard to sustain, he can't do it anymore. And then he crashes. And then already he finds himself in a lower place than he was. Had he... It's the same thing with these people that go on these crash diets. Lavdil. I mean... Maybe you know some of these people. I mean, you have a friend. But the point is, they go on these crash diets, they don't eat for a certain amount of time, and they lose a certain amount of weight, but they can't sustain it. And then you have somebody who goes bihadraga. Every day, he exercises a little, he eats the proper things, and he does it slowly. This guy over here, at the end, he wins. I remember when we were young, we used to have, in the summer, my friends used to have a big backyard, and every year we used to have a race. We had to run around this backyard 10 times, and whoever wins this marathon, nothing, you get kavod. There's nothing. There was nothing more than that. And every year I used to make the same mistake. I have to admit it. We would start the race, and I would run, and I would run, and I'm running around. I'm ahead of my friends by 8 laps. I'm running like the road runner. And when I used to get to the 8th lap, I couldn't do it anymore. I crashed. And all of a sudden, all my friends would whoa. And they always tell me, you're doing it wrong. You tried to win the race in the first 5 minutes. If you would have went slowly and paced yourself, you'd beat us every year. But you always think you're going to be able to do the 10 before we could do it. You cannot. You're not in that shape. It's the same thing. The other guys that went slow, they paced themselves. They know he's going to run out of steam. He's going to run out of steam in the 8th lap. And all of a sudden, every year I came into last place. Okay, but they're nowhere today. Baruch Hashem, I came a rabbi. So they beat me in the marathon. That's not such a big accomplishment. But the point is, I'm giving you the musar of it. The similar concept I found in the Apter Rav. Apter Rav in Ohev Yisrael and the Hashmatot at the back of the book in Parashat Vayikra. He says the following. Parashat Vayikra, the Pasuk says, Vayikra el Moshe. God calls Moshe. Now she explains, Lechol kiriot ulchol deberot v'tzviim kadma kiria. Anytime Moshe Rabbeinu was about to be called on a certain mission, it always was preceded by God calling him. Vayikra el Moshe. That means he didn't do anything until he was called. Says the Apter Rav. Da sheba Rashi kan lelamedenu klal gadol b'Torah. Rashi's coming to teach you a big klal. V'hainu, kemo she-Moshe lo haya nigash ledaber im ha-Shechina ad she-tekedamo kiriah. Moshe did not approach the Shechina until he was called. Kemo chen, Sarich ha-Adam ha-Rotze la'alot el Hashem. If a person wants to go up to God, ממדרגה למדרגה, from level to level, בכל מדרגה, צריכו שיקדימו קריאה מן השמיים. He has to wait until God calls him. וניתן לו אותו המדרגה, and God gives him that level. He's talking about, over here where you have tzaddikim, and they have great aspirations to become Gadol HaDor, to become great Rosh Yeshiva. But he says, that should not be your aspiration until it's brought upon you. You serve God on the level that you have. And then when it's called upon you, then you'll rise. The Gadol HaDor that passed away this week, Rav Steinemann, Zecher Tzadik Mekadosh Levracham, Gadol HaDor. You say, where did he become the Gadol HaDor all of a sudden? He was a teacher in the yeshiva, he became a Rosh Yeshiva, he doesn't have a publicist, he doesn't have anybody promoting him. But all of a sudden the calling came to him. He didn't ask for to become Gadol HaDor. They came to him and said, you have to take the reins. Rav Shach said, you are the one that's in charge, Rav Chaim, whoever came in and nominated him. These are people that did not look for these madrigot, they didn't look for these The calling came, he has accepted. So he writes, Ki ha'avodot ha'amikiyot, the true levels, who davka mishoved et Hashem itbarach, he's serving God, ve'en rotze be'emet shum madrega. He's not looking for any position. Ad shekorin lo, okay, they call him, ve'kofin oto min ha'shamayim, and they tell him, listen, you're in the right place at the right time. Al ken, al ze ki hu sorech ha'olam. Vine benazdu, he says now. Vine be'enenu la'inu, I saw my own eyes. Rabbim min ha'chasidim. Good people. Shena'asu mishugaim has v'shalom. They became crazy. O ba'ale mara shchora. Or they became depressed. Ume'ayin nimsa ha'davar hazeh. Im min ha'torah. Is it from their learning? Has v'shalom, he says. Learning is supposed to make a person happy. Is it from their mitzvot? Has v'shalom. Pikudei Hashem yisharim mesamech ha'lev. Where did their depression and insanity come from? Aval anyan ki anashim ahem. Harotzim la'alot el Hashem. They wanted to get close to Hashem. V'asulam ne'ilam ma'enehem. But they didn't use the ladder. They didn't use the ladder. Rabbi Tversky says, in one of his books, where he talks about the steps towards recovery. Was it 11 steps? 12 steps? So he says, a big sign in his office. He says, the elevator is broken. Please use the 12 steps. What he means to say is a guy who's in addiction, he wants to say, no, I'm going to get better in one shot. That's it. No more. I'm going to do it anyway. Slow down. It doesn't work that way. You have to follow the system until you get better. So he says, these guys over here, they didn't use the steps. They used the elevator to get to Hashem. Ki enam ovdim et Hashem behadraga v'tofsim davar she'en shayach lahem. They started to do things that they weren't on the level. It wasn't appropriate for them. Beli shum kiriyah. They didn't get a calling for that yet. And he comes along and he says, Velo chen derech ha'anashim ha'shelemim. The true Jews, shem ovdim, shem abadim merutzim nashim, ve'enam rotzim shum madrega. So you see, the Abter Rav, like the Noam Elimelech. Noam Elimelech was his rabbi. Same concept. You cannot right away jump to the highest madrigot. They say the guy in the yeshiva, he wants to finish Shas in one night. Doesn't work that way. He stays up three nights in a row all night long and he's learning and he crashes after. He says he can't do it anymore. And the other guy that went at a nice pace, he learned the normal time, like the Hafiz Chaim said, at 11 o'clock go to sleep, eat a good breakfast, and he followed the normal pace over the course of time. He beat all his friends because he didn't jump and go extreme. There's a rabbi called the Toldot Yaakov Yosef. He has a beauty piece, Parashat Ki Tetzeh. He's quoting over here the Rama. The Rama wrote a sefer called Mechir Yayin of Moshe Isserlish. Mechir Yayin is a pirush on Megillat Esther. We have to connect Hanukkah and Purim. And this pirush to Megillat Esther, the Rama, which he wrote it really according to the Kabbalah, a lot of the book. It's amazing how it was a big mekubal, the Rama. So he says over there, what was this business of Haman making a tree for Mordechai? Ya'asu etz gavoa hamishim amma. This was not only a physical tree, but there was a philosophical idea behind the tree. So the Mechir Yayin says, shekavanat haman v'ayetzer hara, which is the yetzer hara, ya'asu etz gavoa hamishim amma. Build a tall tree. Hamishim amma represents the highest level, the 50th level of Binah. Rotze lomar shi'ale Mordechai b'madrega elyona. The Yetzer HaRa says, let the tzaddik reach the 50th level. Let him jump to the top of the building. Sha'al yedeze yesibat nefilato. That'll cause him to fall. The Yetzer HaRa pushes the Jew to go to levels that he can't hold on to. And then listen to his golden language. ki ribuy hashemen gorem kibuy hapetila. Too much oil causes the petila to extinguish. You think, what? Put more oil. Put more oil, goes out. That's when we say kol hamosif goreya. Sometimes more is less. In religion, sometimes more is less. So as Rosh Hashiva is always watching extreme behavior, all of a sudden you see a guy one day come to the yeshiva, he's praying a 25-minute Amidah. What happened to the guy? Okay, maybe one time, maybe somebody's sick in his family, God forbid, he wants to pray 25 minutes. But all of a sudden he sees now it becomes a pattern. So where did you come from? You went from 2.5 minutes to 25 minutes? There's no happy medium in between? And then all of a sudden he can't hold it for a long time like that. And all of a sudden he doesn't come to tefillah. He's sleeping in the Alein HaShabbat, he's in bed. What happened to the guy? He crashed. Therefore the Hakamim, when they raise students, they're always making sure that the students are growing at the proper pace. And the Yetzer Hara tries to put an overdose of shemen. V'ribuya shemen gorem l'kibuya petila. The petila being the neshama. The neshama gets extinguished by ribuya shemen. Now I must, as a side point, you shouldn't use this as an excuse to be lazy. You know, now your wife's going to tell you, see, I told you, you're too much. You see, the rabbi said, you're too much. Therefore you have to start to, you know, lower the flame a little. You know, you're going too fast. Hey, listen, yeah, he's not saying that you have to go backwards in life. He's just saying that as you're growing in the right direction, you have to go at a proper pace. But you can't go to a snail's pace either. You're not going to live to 1,000 years like Metushelach. You have to go, you have to get there eventually. That's why the Toldot Yaakov Yosef says on the Pasuk, Lo yehye keli gever al isha, velo yilbash gever simlat isha. This is the cross-dressing. You know, you think, why would I have to talk about cross-dressing? You know, who would do that? Today, this becomes one of the most pertinent averot in the generation. But you have over here a deeper interpretation. He says, Gevin doesn't only represent a man. It represents somebody with strength, spiritual strength. Isha, no offense, he says, represents a weaker position. The Isha is usually weaker than the Gevin. So he says, Lo yilbash Gevin, if a person is weak, he's isha, lo ye kili gever, he shouldn't strive to have kili gever. It's too much for him. He has to follow his level. All of a sudden the guy says, I'm going to be like the Baba Sali, I'm fasting 6 days a week. Hey, why don't you start skipping dessert once in a while? Before you get to 6 days a week fasting like Baba Sali. Why don't you have one less, ice cream during the week? Then you start right away, Baba Sali. Then all of a sudden, 6 days, he can't do it anymore. He becomes a bigger glutton than he already was. So the pasuk says, Lo yekili gever al isha. You're an isha. You're weak in your consistency. Lo yekili gever. You're wearing the wrong clothes. But then he says, but the same way, Velo yilbash gever simlat isha. That means already if you're holding by high levels, don't trade your high levels for the weak levels. Don't go backwards. Well, if that's the case, we can understand now and go back. We go back. Kiner mitzvah, the Torah or. The Ner Chanukah represents the mitzvah. And in mitzvot, there's madrigot. There's madrigot. We don't jump to the highest level. We start from one level, and then we go to the next level, then we go to the other level. It's the opposite of Yavan. Yavan wants us to start at the small level, so we degrade. In mitzvot me'oyemaita akemeni, we start at the first level and then we move up. And that's why the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is in grades. Ner Yishubeto. And then from Ner Yishubeto, you go to Mehadirin. And then from Mehadirin, you go to Mehadirin min Mehadirin. The way the Gemara professed this mitzvah was in Hadraga. It's to teach you not a lesson. Lo lelamed ala prat, ela lamed ala klal kulo yatsa. This is to teach you a lesson in all of the mitzvot. That all mitzvot performance has to be Ishubeta, then you move up to Mehadrim. You don't start with Mehadrim and Mehadrim. Why doesn't the Gemara just say, Mitzvah Ner Chanukah, Mehadrim and Mehadrim? Yeah, what happened to the first two levels? Think about the two levels. That's for the weak people. Start from the top. No, don't start from the top. Level one, level two, level three. But why do we put it against the mezuzah? So I found an incredible Kava Yashar. We learned it many, many moons ago. It's at the end of Perek Aleph. Over there he writes, the Kavanah, when a person leaves his house in the morning to go to Shachrit, he says you should put your finger on the mezuzah and have the following Kavanah. Alken bepetach hapinimi shebabayit yechaven behanahat yad ala mezuzah. When you put your hand on the mezuzah, you look at the words on the outside of the mezuzah. It's Shem Shakai. There's a Sheen and there's a Dalit and there's a Yud. The word Yetzer, Yetzer Ara, Yetzer Yud Tzadi Resh. He says, well, if you open it up, the Yud is spelt Yud, Yud Vav Dalid. The last letter of Yud is a Dalid. Tzaddi is Tzaddi Dalid Yud. The last letter of Tzaddi is a Yud. So now you have a Dalid and a Yud. Yetzer, Resh, Resh Yud Sheen. The last letter of Resh is a Sheen. That means the Sofer Otiyot of the Milui of Yetzer is Shaddai. So he says, you put your finger on the mezuzah, Ki yetzer b'milui otiyot yod tzaddi resh sofet tevot shaddai. Ritzoni lomar sheshem shel shaddai hu tov lehinatzel meyetzer hara. And you should make a prayer when you put your finger on the mezuzah, ribono shel olam, chusana alai, please have mercy on me, lemaleteni meyetzer hara, save me from the yetzer hara, v'chol kat dileh, and all of his ilk. Amen. So that means the mezuzah represents the yetzer. The prayer against the yetzer hara is on the mezuzah. That's where we pray to God, sur mera. But after sur mera, once you desist from doing evil, that's not enough. Asetov. So therefore the Gemara says you place the menorah across from the mezuzah. First sur merah. First you have to desist from doing evil. Don't listen to the yetzer hara. Asekach, 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 sur merah. And then after sur merah, you take the same method of sur merah. And now asetov, now you go to the menorah. And just like you don't fall for the yetzer hara's hadragah, on the other side, you go behadraga. Therefore, zel u'mat zeh. If that's the case, I have a chidush to say. The Gemara Sukkah says that when Mashiach comes, they're going to take the yetzer hara. There's a schedule on the day that Mashiach comes. I don't know if you got the schedule. It's printed in the Gemara Sukkah, page 52a. I would make a copy of it, because Mashiach comes Sunday morning. You have a copy of it, so you know where to be and what's going to happen and all the different all the different things are going to happen. A lot of good things are going to happen. The main event of the day of the Mashiach day is the slaughtering of the Yetzer Hara. Gemara in Nudbet says, beautiful, beautiful piece. It says, La'atid lavo, in the future, Mivio HaKadosh Baruch Hu liyetzer hara, Veshuchato b'fnei ha-tzadikim u'fnei ha-resha'im. He's going to slaughter it in front of the good people and in front of the bad people. Tzadikim nidme lahem kehar gavoa. To the tzadik, the yetzer hara is going to look like a insurmountable mountain. But the reshaim nidme lahem kehut ha-sa'ara. And to the rasha, the yetzer hara is going to look like a a small little hair. That means there's going to be two different images that the Yetzirah is going to portray. If you're a tzaddik, the Yetzirah looks like a mountain. And if you're a rasha, it looks like a little hair, his hair's breadth. And the question is, what does that mean? Is the Yetzirah a mountain or is he a hair? I mean, you're going to finally come face to face with him. What is he? Is he a big mountain or is he a hair? Why is it that tzaddikim are going to perceive him one way and the neshayim are going to perceive him another way? I have a pshat here based on what we're learning tonight. You know why the rasha becomes a rasha? Because he perceives the Yetzirah as a hair's breadth. That's how the Yetzirah starts with him, with the Yud of Yavan. And he says, it's only a hair's breadth. He says, that's how he seduced me. If I would have known that that hair's breadth is going to turn into a mountain, if I would have known that that Yud is going to become a Vav, and the Vav is going to become a Nun Sofit, I wouldn't have fell for it. But I fell for it because my perception was it's only a hair. I thought it's going to remain a hair. But the Rasadik, when he sees the Yetzirah come as a hair, what does he see? He sees a mountain. He already sees that if I let him in, he's going to become an Oreach, and from an Oreach, he's going to become a Balabayit, and it's over. So he already sees the mountain from the beginning. That's why God says, which tribe went against Yavan? The tribe of Levi. Look at the letters of Levi. It's also three stick letters. The Lamed is the tallest letter in the alphabet going up, like a mountain. And then you have a Vav, which is shorter, and then you have a Yud, which is the shortest. To Levi, he looks at the Yetzirah the exact opposite. When he sees the Yetzirah, he doesn't see a Yud, a small nothing. He sees a big mountain of a Lamed. He says, my gosh, Kehar. And as a result, since he looks at the Zahar, it gets smaller. It becomes a Vav and it becomes a Yud until it disappears. The letters Lamed Vav Yud are the antithesis of Yud Vav Nun. And that's what the Midrash says. Let this nation that has three Otiyot be destroyed by the tribe that has three Otiyot. The Midrash was saying, look at the construction of the letters, and it tells the story of these two nations, the tale of the two nations. Whereas Yavan represents the Rishaim, where they come along and say, Hayom asekach, mahar asekach, ad shomer lo avod avodazra, and then the Nun Sofit is all the way down in the Kilipot. Whereas Levi is the opposite. Levi, when the Yetzirah comes to Levi, it's a big Levi, it's a Lamed, it's a tall mountain. He says, oh, this is a big item. And the Rashi says, what do you see? I just see a hair. You don't see anything. I see the end. And because Levi sees it as a mountain, instead of getting bigger, it only gets smaller. And because the Rasha sees it as a hair, it only gets bigger. And that's what Bet Hillel said in the famous line that he writes regarding the mitzvah of menorah. When lighting the menorah, you light up. One the first night, then two, and then three. We go up, and they ask Bet Hillel, what's your logic? And he says, my logic is Ma'alin Bakodesh. Ve'en Moridin. The trick when it comes to doing mitzvot is Ma'alin Bakodesh. You always have to move up. But what type of Ma'alin Bakodesh? A Ma'alin Bakodesh that doesn't lead to Moridin. Ma'alin Bakodesh ve'lo Moridin. But if it's going to be Ma'alin Bakodesh, like the Noam Elimelech said, Lo Ta'aleh B'Ma'alot, because then Ki Tegaleh Ervatecha, then already you're going to fall on your face. Then already, like the Ohev Yisrael said, you become a Meshuga. Then already you become Hazo plagued with depression. Then you find yourself in a lower spot than you were. So therefore Bet Hillel says, the goal of Hanukkah is the goal of mitzvot. Ma'alim Bakodesh. But it's a gradual slope. It's a gradual step-by-step process. And then already, Velo Moridin. At the end, you win the marathon because you had a steady pace. You didn't rush and skip steps and then trip and Hatzah Shalom fall in your religiosity. That's why the Gemara says Ner Hanukkah has three levels. Ishubeto, Madrim. That's the lesson how to do mitzvot. If that's the case, we end with the pasuk. V'atem adibekim b'Adonai Elohechem, Hayim kulechem hayom. Who has life? Who merits to have life? Life means life in this world, the life in the eternal world, Olam Haba. V'atem adibekim b'Adonai Elohechem. But who is that? Hayim kulechem. Hayim belongs to all those. Kulechem hayom. Then when the Yetzirah comes on the first day, Hayom omer lo asekach. Already he says, stop here. He doesn't let the Yetzirah get away, get beyond Hayom. But the guy that lets the Yetzirah get to the Hayom, if there's a Hayom, there's a Bahar. And if there's a Bahar, he becomes a Balabayit. And before you know it, he owns you. And therefore, Hayim kulechem, to who? The Hayom, to those that catch the first persuasion, the first seduction of the Yetzirah, and they don't let him go further. Melahem kehar, it appears to them like a great mountain. Yiratzon, we should be zocher to overcome this malchut yavan, this tactic of the Yetzirah, and then Bezat Hashem will become students of Shevet Levi, the third Shevet, like it said in the pasuk, Tumecha ve'urecha le'ish hasidecha, that's the true Hasid, the Hasid that grows behadraga. Hanukkah Sameach, Shabbat Shalom.